This is the recording of March 28, 2018, regular Board of Directors meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
Meeting to order here at 4:01.
So for any of you that don't know me, Taylor Crocker, I'm the safety specialist here. And today we are going to talk about carbon monoxide poisoning. And everyone should have a handout. So every year there's lots of people that get either killed or injured by carbon monoxide poisoning. So about 400 Americans die on average carbon monoxide, but 20,000 Americans visit the emergency room, and 4,000 of those 20,000 are actually hospitalized. So first thing I've got to ask, and you don't have to raise your hand, but has anyone here had the effects of personal effects of carbon monoxide poisoning? Yeah, I think we were talking about this earlier, but when the carbon monoxide detector in your plane starts getting black, you have to start worrying pretty quickly. But carbon monoxide poisoning is completely preventable. And so as long as we service our heating systems in our house on a regular basis and make sure that we're not running our vehicles in the garage, or a really big one in Alaska is running those generators and making sure that power goes out and we put that portable generator outside, that we're not putting it next to a door or window and getting that exhaust inside. And then one of the easy ways to know if you have carbon monoxide is if you have a detector in your house. And a lot of our detectors that detect fires also detect carbon monoxide. Now, a lot of these are on your ceiling, and carbon monoxide is heavier than air. So I always suggest putting one near the ground, because the whole room's going to have to fill up with carbon monoxide before that starts going off. And if it's at the ground level, it's going to catch it a lot sooner. And then the other thing is, it can happen in your vehicle, whether it's an airplane or a car. So making sure your exhaust system is checked up. And if you do start having flu-like symptoms while driving your car or flying a plane, definitely get it checked out. Because a lot of times you're going to get kind of lightheaded or upset stomach, and that's your first sign that you have carbon monoxide poisoning. But if you're sleeping, you might not have any of the effects before you pass out and expire. So on that, I brought carbon monoxide detectors for everyone. And so they have the battery backup and everything, and these ones are great to put next to your furnace. A lot of times your furnace will have a plug-in in the wall. So what I like to do on my house is just plug one of these in on the other plug-in you have in the receptacle. Any questions?
Maybe, with people increasingly staying at like VRBOs and Airbnbs, maybe bring one or make sure they have one, because you don't know the state of repair.
Exactly. I mean, most of them are around $30 to $60. So it's your life. It's pretty cheap insurance.
Didn't they find that family of four down in South America or something passed and something like this?
Yeah, it was in Mexico. When I was reading that article, I really thought like it was going to be like the cartel or something, because they kind of left it as a cliffhanger how they died. And then in the very end, it ended up being that the furnace was faulty. Yeah. And they died of carbon monoxide poisoning. I think they're from Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah.
like last week.
Thank you for that. Let's move on to approval of the agenda. We have a full agenda this evening, and we are going to try to move through it expeditiously so that we can focus on the CEO evaluation, which is an important item for the evening, along with other important items that we will try to execute efficiently. So with that, do I have a motion to approve
the agenda as written?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval of the agenda as written, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda passes unanimously. See no person to be heard. Consent agenda. Do I have a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
So
moved.
Any discussion on any of the items on the consent agenda?
Yeah, I asked to add to the calendar, since that's on the consent agenda, the NACD meeting in September with one of the things that was brought up was the quality of speakers, and this year it's Janet Yellen.
Wow.
Okay. I'd like to go. Last year it was Madeline Albright.
And NACD is Janet Yellen.
Okay. And what are the dates, do you know, Tim?
September 29th or October 2nd or something like that.
Yeah. So I'd like to see that added.
Is there any discussion on adding that to the board calendar? I know we kind of joined that organization, a few months ago.
We were going to revisit it at the end of the year or something, but surely a year hasn't passed yet.
No, it was only a few months ago. It seemed like it was back in.
With the budget. Yes, with the budget.
Yeah.
So did you go, went to one meeting?
No, I never went to any because I was on my, it was there. Well, certainly the quality speaker is superior to NRACA. There's no question about the Alan Albright 1 year and Janet Yellen the following year. I don't think you can find much better. So I personally would like to listen to Janet Yellen.
I don't have any objection to
that. I can't imagine anybody.
We just don't want to lose our whatever when we were going to go back and look at it.
We'll make sure that we keep that our eye on the ball there. So.
And the dates are September 29th through October 2nd. We received an email from Aaron Asimov for the
I did see that. So is there any objection to adding that to the consent agenda? Hearing none. Any other discussion on items on the consent agenda? Is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Oh, there's already a motion. I'm very sorry. Hearing no other discussion, all those in favor of approval as written with the addition of the NACD conference in September, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved unanimously. All right, moving on to CEO's reports and correspondence.
Madam Chair, we have the first quarter 2018 rail belt bill comparison. We're happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, you guys go ahead. I have a couple for me. I have four items.
You have questions specifically on that item five there?
I'd like to go over them just if you can, just briefly. Because I thought they were really important to make the comparisons. I think people need to know that. I'd like
I would hope that somehow we could make that a little more public, because I think it's important to show that GBS really is conscientious with our ratepayers' money. I was curious if there was any issues with the rate filing that the MLP has here, and what that reflects on those numbers too.
Okay.
Is there any? Is that reasonable to ask that at this point, guys, or not? I don't.
We can certainly talk about the.
Or maybe if you don't even want to go at it during this section of the meeting, that's fine with me too.
Arthur, or if you want to maybe just walk through the big differences between the prior quarter, and I guess to address Director Henderson, on the rate case, we don't really know what the numbers are going to be. The revenue requirement is staying the same. They've got a lower return on equity, which will lower the prices, but then they're adjusting between residential and small commercial, so the demands will change. So they have to do a filing by April
2017, somewhere around there.
Something.
Okay, so it's not adequately specific at this point to make any assumptions. Okay. I just saw the thing that you wrote.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, this ought to impact some of these numbers. Mm-hmm. And they really, that was this morning you wrote that,
right?
And I said, this should impact that thing that we presented for us on yesterday.
We probably will not see anything, you know, if they file it, filing in mid April, they probably won't have final rates until May at the very, very earliest, most likely June. By the time the commission reviews their compliance filing and then approves final tariffs.
Okay.
The time period.
Yeah. Any comment on the
so I think here
stuff that you brought or just part of the meeting?
I'd just go over the major changes for this court.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah, I'd say that the highlights that stand out to me, if you look at figure 4 on page 5, just shows the history quarter by quarter, last 5 quarters of all the utilities. And I always like the way the Chugach numbers are very in control. And if you look at the MLP ones just beside it, they're very up and down. If you combine that then with figure 2 on page 4, it shows what the base rates are. And so MLP coming down below Chugach's levels just recently is totally in their fuel costs. Their fixed costs are higher than Chugach's still. So I think those are a couple of keys that really stand out to me.
Mm-hmm. Why are the fixed costs so really high? I mean, that's what I noticed. You know, I noticed fuel. I assume that I think it's labeled fuel, but anyway, I assume it's fuel. And I said, that's got to be the reason that's so small. But why are they?
It's Plan 2A. Some LSD.
That's kind of what I figured, but I'm asking.
Yeah, they have the vast majority of Plan 2A costs, if you will, actually all of them, except the requested ROE were included in their interim rate request. And then what you have on the other side is their fuel. Literally, the bottom is dropped out, and they're extremely inexpensive.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay. Thank you. So we're going to move on to director reports, and item A is Arctic. Harry, do you want
to? Well, I will fill in whatever Lee doesn't, because I think he'll be more inclusive than it was quite frustrating.
There was a board, Arctic board meeting on March 22nd. On the agenda for basically a review of the March 20th RCA filing, and I think we'll make that filing available to the board. And basically, that was a review of GDS's work in doing interviews with all the stakeholders. So they basically did a summary of their discussions and then filed that with the RCA as requested by the RCA. And then we had some, we modified the GDS contract to include, we raised the budget by about $18,000 to include, our Representative Wohl has requested the GDS go to Juneau to do a presentation on the USO efforts. So we added the $18,000 for them to make the trip to Juneau, and then some additional work, a follow-up work. So we made some modifications to that budget for that. And so we did that as far as the contract amendment. And then we basically just had discussions on where we go from there. We did have, on March 16th, there was a second technical conference at the RCA. And basically GDS walked through where we are at with the effort, with all of the stakeholders. And at that meeting, there were the utilities that were present. REAP gave a short presentation. They were not satisfied with the progress that the utilities are making. And then you have Janet from AEA that has another thought on moving the USO effort forward, but having AEA in charge of it. So now we've got kind of three parallel paths. You've got the ARCTEC effort with GDS. You've got Representative Wohl's Bill 382, and it's supposed to go to hearing again on Thursday, scheduled right now, but it could get canceled. Basically, that is a USO underneath the RCA and would be staffed by RCA or government employees. And then you've got a proposal from AEA to become the unified system operator, with AEA being in charge. They would have a board of directors, but that's not defined at this time.
Was the Wohl thing, is that the REAP bill? That's, yeah. Is that the Wohl bill?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Okay, pushed by REAP. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. So you got those three things going on right now. We did send a letter. Hopefully you've got a copy of that, that was signed jointly by NEA, Golden Valley Electric, and Homer Electric in Chugach, and we said we opposed 382, and we think that you should just follow the process that's underway with GDS, and I guess we'll see what the outcome of that is.
What was interesting on that letter, the people who filed this were all the co-ops. You know, and they were all the four co-ops said this thing is not working, and they're trying to. I was kind of pleased with that letter.
I did talk to City of Seward. I was down at Seward last night.
Yeah, but they're.
Talk to them. They supported it, but they wanted their city manager wanted him to get in touch with their lobbyist before they signed on.
They supported not supporting it, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. They supported the letter.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And but they wanted to talk to their lobbyist first, and I haven't heard from them.
Should we talk about in open session about MLMP and Homer and their objections, or should we wait to?
I think in general, at the public meeting, both MLMP and Homer really wanted a very.
Just said, Rachel, turn off your mic.
Rachel, are you muted?
I'm not, but I can as soon as I get to a stoplight.
Okay, thank you.
So at the public meeting, I think you had Homer Electric as well as MLMP that really felt that the USO should just focus on reliability standards and not go to the expanded model of looking at long-range planning and some of the economic dispatch functions. So they wanted to be very narrowly focused with just doing reliability standards. And that might be why MLP didn't weigh in with us on this particular letter.
Well, it sounded to me like MLP and Homer, to a little bit lesser extent, didn't want a USO at all. They really wanted just reliability standards and leave it at that. And it made GDS have to moderate what they put forward to the commission.
Homer and who? Homer
and MLMP.
It was
of the dissatisfaction that the commission expressed, because they didn't, we didn't have enough on economic dispatch and other things that they really wanted to see from us. I thought, I don't know if you feel that's right or wrong, but that was my impression.
Well, I think I was definitely Reap's concern is that we weren't addressing the economic dispatch and that we weren't addressing, you know, the longer range planning. I think the commission, it's been a little confusing with the commission, because they, and the last time we met, they focused and said, you guys need to just worry about reliability standards. And I think that's where Homer and MLP locked on to and just said, okay, let's just do reliability standards and maybe everything that the USO was doing is not needed.
Yeah. It was very disappointing and frustrating, I thought, because I thought that GDS was making great progress. And then, like the night before, or the day before, we went into the commission. They said, "Well, if you say that, we're not going to sign on to it." So,
yeah, I'll reinforce what they're saying. I was listening on the telephone several times at the RCA meeting, and this was disappointing that they were, you know, they're really kind of, people were dragging their feet, and the Reap, you know, I think more of their concern was that they perceive the board of directors here not to reflect the utilities and not something that they thought it should reflect. I don't know if that's a fair representation or unfair representation, but it is my perception. I did come away somewhat hopeful, because, you know, we've watched this ordeal for years, and it was kind of funny. Mark Johnson was there. I said, "Mark, what did the devil happen today?" And he says, "He's not here." So he says, "Well, Jim, I remember when these folks wouldn't even talk to each other, and now at least they're talking to each other." You know, so if there was some good out of it, that was the good. At least they're talking. But I really felt like it backpedaled in that last week.
That was my impression.
So there's to be continued.
To be continued, yeah. I think, you know, we've been strong with the position. Let's let the GDS effort work. We've been strong with, you know, MLMP and HEA, that we believe that having all those aspects built into the USO is important, and especially that we need the USO before the Transco. So.
And hearings tomorrow?
And potential hearing tomorrow in Juneau. Right now it's scheduled from 10 to noon. Talking to Jerry, he thought likely it would be canceled because of other matters down there with the budget, but he said he'd let me know.
Okay. It's a hearing on the bills.
On 382.
Yeah. Any other questions? There's a lot going on there. More to come. Okay.
This is Rachel. I was just going to add, I don't know if you guys talked about this before I got on, but Chris was on Talk of Alaska talking about the legislation, talking about this bill and the reason for it and everything that he's trying to do. So there is quite a big push for it. So,
when was that, Rachel?
Tuesday.
Yes, yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
He was talking about access. That's just,
Yeah.
I happen to hear parts of it.
Okay, let's move on to audit and finance.
So we did have an audit and finance committee meeting on the 19th, and then I believe everyone was present at it, and we have three action recommended that the 10K be forwarded to the full board and accept the audit financial, and also the 2018 audit engagement. So immediately after that, we had a full board meeting, so I don't know if any questions are there. So that's a lot of information.
I think we were all here, so move that forward. Operations, correct?
We didn't have any operations meeting.
We did not meet either. You recall a couple of months ago or several months ago, we received and accepted a report on our bylaws, a review of our bylaws by outside counsel. And outside counsel recommended two changes to our bylaws, and that's on the agenda later, so we can cover it then. And I think, Rachel, you agreed to join the governance committee, so thank you for that. And that's it.
Okay. Other meetings?
Just to touch on the REAP, since there were REAP public policy committee meetings on the 12th and the 16th, but then we did talk about it, not extensively, but during our March 19 meeting, kind of, I can't recall if it was during the ops, was it during the committee meeting or the special meeting, but there's more that we can, Stuart and I can fill the board in on, but I think there's an appropriate place in executive session.
Yeah, and that our conversation was previously in the Audit and Finance Committee executive session.
Yeah.
Okay, we will bring that up in executive session. Any other meetings? We did have an evaluation committee meeting on Monday, and we're going to talk about that later. So, anything else? Okay, hearing nothing else, we're going to move on. No unfinished business, we're going to move on to item 8, new business, and talk about the bylaw committee.
And paperclip for that, it fell apart.
We thought that this was going to be kind of a no-brainer committee meeting, and then we kind of there was some anxiety about how these changes in the bylaws could affect individual members' right to participate in an election. So I think Tom has been walking the tightrope to make sure that he addresses all the concerns that were expressed at the meeting. And I did my best to explain the background and why we were where we were. So it was not as easy as I think we thought it was going to be. But thank you, Tom, and I'll let you explain where we ended up.
Sure, thank you, and I appreciate your participation in that meeting. Just to kind of tell you where we're at. Director Reeves already mentioned that we had outside counsel look at our bylaws, and they went through and said that they're in pretty good shape. There were two items where they recommended that we revise the bylaws, one for consistency and one to be make sure we're in compliance with the state statute. And so that's what's on the agenda tonight, is those two recommendations. We brought them before you, I think, a month ago, and then took them to the bylaws committee. So the goal here tonight is for the board to consider what it is they want to be on the ballot, if anything, and then to, if the bylaw proposals go on the ballot, the bylaws committee has the opportunity, according to the bylaws, to comment on that. And so they have submitted comments, and the board can decide to join in with those comments, or the board can draft its own comment to accompany those. So the first item on your agenda here is called eligible voters. And I'm going to actually go to the comment, because the comment on page 2.
Page 35 of all the materials.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Page 35 36. Of all the materials.
35, 36, 37, 38.
Okay. The comment describes the perceived need here for this. So the cooperative statutes provide that each member is entitled to one vote on each matter submitted to a vote of the membership. And it does not authorize a cooperative to restrict voting based on recent patronage. So to be aligned with state law, this proposal clarifies that members of record as of the record date are entitled to vote. So you'll see above that the proposed change to Article 3, Section 6, and is simply to strike the phrase within the 6 months preceding. And that's, again, because the statute says each member is entitled to one vote, one member, one vote concept, right?
So if you signed up for service the day before the eligible date, you would be able to.
The day before the record date.
Right, the record date.
Yep. And so the proposal here is to strike that limitation that's not really authorized by the state statute. So that's the proposed change. And then, again, I mentioned, so if you go to the agenda item, there's a proposed motion for you, but again, there's two options. You can, if you vote to put this on the ballot, you can join in with the bylaws committee comment, and you'll see I have in brackets there on the title of the comment, board of directors and bylaws committee recommendation. So that's, again, that's if you vote to join in, or you can vote to draft your own comment, or of course you can vote to not put this on the ballot.
So, do we have a motion?
I can make the motion. I'll move that the board of directors place the attached bylaw proposal eligible voters on the ballot for the 2018 annual membership meeting for a vote by the membership, and that the board of directors join with the attached bylaw committee comment recommending the proposed amendment be adopted by the membership. So I would go with option one, because I think Tom's done a good job of simplifying and explaining why we're making this change.
I'll second it.
Okay, so further discussion on making the motion. The current motion that's on the floor chooses option one, which is to join in with the bylaw committee recommendation. Is there any discussion why we would choose that option versus make the other motion?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. So we vote on the motion to join in with the bylaw committee recommendation. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
And then the second item, the 38 on your packet, page 38. Again, I'm going to read the comment here that explains the need for the change. The cooperative statutes provides that notice shall be given for all regular or special meetings of the board of directors as provided in the bylaws of the cooperative. The association's bylaws provide, one, board meetings shall be open to all CGH members, and the notice of such meetings and the agenda shall be posted in a conspicuous place in the public places of business of the association not later than 3 days prior to the meeting. And two, that certain regular meetings of the board of directors shall be held without notice. So as written, the bylaws create a potential internal conflict, first of all, in 1 and 2 above. Number 2 is in Article 5, Section 1, and that's where we're proposing the change. The first section of the bylaws, Article 5, Section 5, says we give notice for all meetings. So there's the internal conflict, but there's also a conflict with state law. That's in the same statute that you use to go into executive session. And I have that in my seat, but it says that notice is given for all regular and special meetings. So there's a conflict with state law. Now, in practice, we do everything right. We give notice of all the meetings. And so in practice, we're doing it right, but there's a conflict here in that we have this language in Article 5, Section 5 above there, Article 5, Section 1, rather, that says we're going to hold board of director meeting without notice immediately after the annual meeting. And go ahead.
No, you're doing fine.
Okay.
I'm consenting. Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
Okay. So we have this language in there that says we'll do it without notice when, in reality, first of all, we don't do it anyway. But it's in conflict with state statute and other sections of our bylaws. And then there's a second place in that same paragraph, such regular monthly meetings may be held without notice. Other than such resolution fixing the time and place thereof. And so the board annually after the annual meeting sets its calendar for regular meetings by resolution, and we do give that notice as well. So again, in practice, we're doing everything right. We just want to eliminate these two phrases where it says without notice. Right? So that's the bylaws committee comment, and that's the proposed change. The other change there is bylaws committee wanted to simplify that last sentence to say the board shall provide notice of the selection of the time and place of the regular meetings for the members promptly after it's selected. But just to clarify, or make that sentence read a little bit.
Okay, so is there a motion for item number 2 here on the bylaws?
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors place the attached bylaw provision board meeting notices on the ballot for the 2018 annual membership meeting for a vote by the membership, and that the Board of Directors join with the attached bylaws committee comment recommending this proposed amendment be adopted by the membership.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on why we should?
I have a discussion.
Okay.
How did we miss it?
Yeah.
How did we miss that all these years? That's what surprised me. I just asked Susan, did she hunkered down?
Perhaps it was because in practice we were doing what's right.
We were doing it in practice, yeah. You know, but the wording certainly, we just misread it, I guess.
Well, I think, you know, if you were saying notice, it did say that there would be a resolution fixing the time and place. So, you know, technically, we would have been giving notice if we said the meetings are every second Thursday at such and such time and such place. This brings us, you know, precisely within the letter of the law.
So I'm just curious, does the word promptly in that last sentence have any, are we at risk there that we're not saying we'll give notice within 3 days or a week or something when you say promptly?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that again, that's the kind of, I think, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the general notice when we get together and we say, well, Thursday's more convenient for Stuart, let's have our meetings Thursday this year, and then we do that. That's not something that's required by law. So we're doing that, right?
And well, once the board approves their calendar of events, that goes on our website right away.
That's pretty prompt.
That's pretty prompt, right?
As long as it meets whatever.
Thank God for that. Good job.
Are you satisfied that that meets any statutory requirement?
I am, yes.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's go to voting on the motion. All those in favor of approving the motion as read, choosing option 1 of joining with the bylaws committee recommendation, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask one question? And I'm just curious, and I read the whole thing, but one of the questions was the nominating committee controversy. It was one of their comments that talked that they thought it might be a little challenging. Is it worthy of reviewing?
Is that on the agenda?
I don't know. We're talking about bylaws. So
we have it on the agenda under executive session.
Okay.
It's not a bylaw revision. It's a discussion of application. Right? The other issue.
I think it's an executive session.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It
looks like 9A3.
Thank you.
very much for your, as usual, thorough,
thank you for your help.
Well-written document. Okay, I have one, if there's no other questions, I have one other thing. I think Director Morse is actually going to be here, but if you're not going to be here in person, Rachel, can you designate someone to sign your expense report?
He's on mute, remember.
Hello, you are on mute. But if you hear me, send a text.
She's actually
going to
be here.
Oh. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, with that, I think we are ready to move into executive session.
I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.5.175(c)(1), 2, and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session to 1. Discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative. 2. Discuss personnel matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation of the character of a person. However, the person may request a public discussion. And 3. Receive reports upon legal matters that are attorney-client privileged, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Is there a second? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we are now in executive session. We are back on the record. Yeah?
Yep, we are.
Director comments. Stuart?
It's been a long meeting.
Okay. Mary?
All this was a reminder of all the hard work that y'all have done this year. And it's amazing all that has been done. I mean, there's still lots to do, but it really is monumental. And I thank you for it.
Jim?
I have to compliment you guys on the board. Everybody, honestly, took it quite seriously. And the conversations were no less in depth than I can imagine that Lee and everybody else have been on this stuff. And we took it, we were very conscientious. I hope it was conscientious as they were. Thank you.
Susan?
Lee, this is the toughest job that we do in the course of a year, and you know we take it really seriously and we work really hard on it, and you know, but it's like we just have to get through it. But anyway, thank you for putting up with us.
No, thank you guys. I mean, it's all the weight.
Well, I can't repeat exactly what Harry said, so I want to second Harry said.
No, I just, you know, it seems like I really appreciate the effort you guys put into this, and I know, unfortunately, we haven't made it very easy for you. We tried to make improvements this year, but it's still too monumental. Somehow we have to get this to be a simpler process. I guess I need to think how to make it better, because it's too much paper, it's too detailed, and it puts way too much burden on you guys to go through line by line by line. I mean, it's just too much.
But on the other hand, it's subjective, or it's objective.
It is very objective.
Yes. Yes. So it really helps us, but it is just painful. I feel like
I got a long way to drive.
So I was trying to figure out some way to simplify it, but when you simplify it, then it makes it more subjective than objective.
Yeah.
So anyway,
And I will just repeat. I echo what Mary said and Susan said, and I haven't gone through this process for the last 2 years. I think better than it was last year, but I do feel like it needs to be simplified somehow. So maybe we can work on that. Just to make it. I always say that around tax time too, when I put in my.
Yeah, one
comment. Connie's going to be gone Friday. You be here Friday. Then we can resolve whatever we have on the meeting.
So okay.
Tell her that.
Exactly. Sit down, of course.
We'll do it. We'll take care of it.
We see places where it's where we made a mistake, you know, where we should have caught something. Yeah. But when we get all that little print and all those things, then, you know, we just tend to say, well, this is you've seen this all before, so we're not going to look at it again. You know? So. It would be good to simplify it because I think we'd do a better job.
Well, and I think, Kendall, I was talking to Connie, and there was just too much on the plate, and we can't continue at this level because things start falling through the cracks, and we just can't do this.
Yeah.
So,
and people have to take their concentration, it'll fall apart.
And we have to, I just, my thought would be we should track big initiatives, but we shouldn't track, you know, getting output. I mean, it's you should decide whether some of the things can get dropped off and we can look at a smaller number of things that really go beyond the day-to-day operation. We know what they are. They're USO, Transco, they're the IRP, the PowerPoint. Those are, there should only be a few things.
Yeah. Well, we'll have the opportunity to, as we set the goals for next year, maybe we can...
Refine it
a little bit.
I
and
agree.
We'll be better at it. We learn something every year, and we do learn that you guys do an enormous amount of work. So with that, I will take a motion to adjourn.
So
moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye, aye, aye.